10 years after the Iraq War, Tony Blair is still coming under fire for deciding to take Britain into a war that led to the deaths of over 1 million Iraqis. Experts and anti-war activists believe Blair should be tried for war crimes for lying about the war. Press TV's Hassan Al-Khatib takes us through the 10 years of Blair's Iraq legacy.
Tony Blair, a name which most people would associate with the illegal war and invasion of Iraq. And that's probably how Blair will be remembered throughout history. In 2003, he stood alongside George Bush to try and justify a war that millions of his own people and many more around the world had opposed. London saw the biggest anti-war demonstration in its history, but despite all that, Blair went ahead with war, ignoring intelligence information that Iraq posed no threat and had no weapons of mass destruction. As the death toll rose, it became very obvious that the Iraq war had more sinister intentions. It was here in the House of Commons that the majority of MPs voted in favour of the Iraq war. Several years later, and some of those very same MPs came out and denounced Tony Blair for lying and deceiving them. Blair said an attack would be legal even without the approval of the United Nations. But all that has been proven to be mere lies. In 2010, the Iraq Inquiry was set up to investigate Britain's role in the Iraq war. Blair was called into question about the legality of his decision. He was also accused of misleading MPs and exaggerating the threats from Iraq. Anti-war activists believe Blair used war for personal gain at the expense of other people's lives.
JP Morgan, the banks are in there propping up the Iraqi economy. The oil companies then open up to the rest of the world. Construction companies, Halliburton, which used to be Dick Cheney's old company, are now getting massive contracts. And Blair himself is receiving about 20 million from the Kuwait royal family, who were Iraq's old enemies. So for the last 10 years since the start of that war, you know, over 500,000 people have died and are still dying as a consequence in Iraq now. So this is the legacy that's left behind from a pack of lies.
Tony Blair resigned as Prime Minister in 2007, and ever since then, the Iraq War has never left him. He embarked on speaking tours around the world, making millions of pounds, but wherever he went, he was followed by protesters calling for his arrest and trial for crimes against humanity. Okay, thank
you very much. Nobody is prepared in the politicians or even the media to come out and actually say it's time we took out a criminal investigation to have him. As a country, we've been asked to turn a blind eye. There's the Chilcot report to come out at the end of the year. We all know already that Chilcot was not given the papers he asked for, and then that will be a whitewash. And besides the fact that it wasn't a criminal investigation, which is what needs to be.
10 years since the war in Iraq, the majority of the British public still believe Blair was wrong to invade. Most of the public also think that the country is more unsafe because of the war and that the situation in Iraq will not improve in the years to come. Hassan Al-Khatib, Press TV, London.
Well, let's talk to Jael Ahram, Iraq war veteran and anti-war activist from Los Angeles. Welcome to the program. So, Mr. Ahram, first of all, will Tony Blair and alongside George W. Bush, will they be tried ever for the crimes they committed in Iraq?
Well, the thing is that the UK and the United States, I mean, what authority is going to bring them to justice? The Security Council? The United States and UK and its allies are the ones who control the Security Council. So none of these leaders are going to be able to charge with war crimes. But you know what? The United Kingdom under Tony Blair acted like a puppet government doing the bidding of the Bush regime. And, you know, to what cost? Hundreds of British lives lost, you know, for a life, for an occupation, and for profit.
So you're an Iraq war veteran. Tell us your experience in Iraq.
It was in 2006 to 2007, and I was there during the height of the surge. And you know, within two months of being actually in Iraq, you know, I started questioning the war, namely for the fact that I started empathizing with the Iraqi people. As part of the training that you get, soldiers and Marines, as part of their training, they teach you to hate the people who are going to be your enemy. Because how can you kill the people if you don't hate them? So that's part of using the tools of racism and that kind of xenophobia. I mean, it's not even xenophobia, just you know, dehumanization of people. Those are used as a tool when it comes to training.
And so if you could tell us more and put into perspective for us, how you compare the U.S. and British account of the war compared to what you experienced on the ground there.
There's definitely a huge discrepancy. You know, Iraq isn't crawling with terrorists, you know, with the weapons of mass destruction. But you know what? You know, we're talking about the United States. Here in the United States, there has yet to be a reckoning for the people who lied to the American people, who convinced Blair to lie to the British people to go into Iraq. You know, Bush, we're talking about Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, you know, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice. None of them are ever going to see the inside of a jail. You know, in the thing that's so interesting about this, though, here in America, is that, you know, Pew Research just released a chart on Twitter, actually, showing support, a favorable opinion of the Iraq war rising under Obama when we were still in Iraq. So the fact is that the after-war movement in the UK and the US, at least in the UK, it was genuine anti-war movement. And here in the United States, it wasn't. It was very partisan-based, and it disappeared upon Obama, a Nobel Peace Prize-winning war criminal currently in charge right now, taking power.
Indeed. We'll have to leave it there for the timing. Many thanks to Jill Ahram, Iraq war veteran and anti-war activist from Los Angeles. Thanks for your time there, sir.